What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians. And it's so funny to me how the Cleveland Guardians have this reputation of being more about their secondaries than their fastballs. And it is still true to this day. There is one guy that breaks that trend a little bit. Maybe there's two, but he has reliever risk. We'll get to him later. But obviously that one guy is Gavin Williams. And Gavin Williams sat about 96 to 97, sometimes even flirted with 98 on that four-seamer. And it was a journey of a 2025 season. I have ranted so many times about this, and I just don't want to do it. Okay, I don't want to experience the Gavin Williams train again. I could be wrong. It could be a case where Gavin Williams figures it all out and he's exceptional. And I hope that he does. But I can't sit here and tell you that he will. And I also don't believe that it's worthwhile as a wager to say that Gavin Williams is going to be this consistent Holly-type arm that is going to go 6-plus innings every game. He's going to lower that walk rate from 12% down to 8% because he's going to have the strike rates improved on the curveball and the sweeper. That he's going to lean into the cutter more so, that he's just going to have this consistent feel, because as we saw it from game to game, and as Moore mentioned, inning to inning when he joined us inside the Twitch chat. Yes, that's right. Every single weekday morning, I am streaming. And also, we have PitchCon coming soon. We have a major announcement about it. But just as a little preview, yes, it is a week from Thursday. So if you don't know what PitchCon is, we aim to raise $10,000 to support ALS causes, and we've been doing it since 2020. We've raised over $50,000 for charity in that time, and we look forward to you joining us for that four-day conference next week. But yeah, Gavin Williams is just way too inconsistent. He just goes back and forth. Is his extension there? Is it not? Is his fastball working? Is he going to throw a sinker? Is he going to throw a cutter? Is he going to get strikes with the sweeper? Is he going to get strikes with the curveball today? I don't know. And I can't buy that he all of a sudden is going to fix it this offseason and be fine. He even had that really nice stretch at the end of the year last year, but we all know that was very fortunate. Koufax was kind. He is destined to be a higher whip arm. And I can't even tell you that he's going to be an under 4 ERA arm because it's just too inconsistent. So, not for me. I can't buy into it because I think the value proposition after a 306 ERA, I don't even know how he got to a 306 ERA. It was still a 127 whip. I don't feel that Gavin Williams is being considered or valued properly, as I would love to take him at the end of my drafts, not as my SP5. No, I feel like you're just going to get the hipster tag and that's that. Tanner Bibee also is, if I can get him at the end of my draft, sweet. He's also one of those guys that can just be that ball and chain, right? That you can have for too long, as he did last year, where Tanner Bibee didn't provide any value that was worthwhile until the last month of the year. And even then, it seemed strange. The whole thing with Tanner Bibee in the past is he has a breaking ball and a changeup that performed really well against their respective batters. That is, a changeup doing really well against lefties, and the slider slash cutter against right-handers. And I've never really loved Tanner Bibee watching him. I feel like he's not really a command guy. He throws enough in the zone, but he's not somebody who executes at-bats exactly as he wants them to. Also, the four-seamer and the sinker are just not exceptional fastballs. What do you know? Cleveland, they are very prone to getting hit hard. And I finally said, you know what? It works. Just let it be, Nick. He's a guy who goes six frames constantly, at least 90-plus pitches for a generally winning team in a good park and has had a strikeout per inning, good ratios. Like, this is a very lovely floor for SP2, SP3 next year in 2025. Obviously wasn't it. So, what do we expect next year? Well, at the very least, the sinker has induced bad contact, which is good. Weak contact, bad contact for the hitter. So there's that at least, as he uses it against right-handers 26% of the time, reducing that four-seamer that does get hit really hard. Sure, the cutter feel just wasn't there last year. The 14-15% swinging strike rate is not what we want. Yes, it still induces bad contact, which is good. And the changeup did the same, but 35%, not like 25%. And I can't do this again. Does Tanner Bibee actually have a devastating breaking ball again? No. The changeup, sure. 19% swing strike rate last year, mostly thrown against lefties. I just think the fastballs are just not good enough. And without him having that legitimate breaking ball for right-handers, it just feels like it's going to be another tumultuous season. So if you want to buy into those last four starts or so for Tanner Bibee, even then it wasn't just so exceptional that I feel like he's going to carry that into this year. He's a nice guy to get the end of my drafts because I feel like he will get the opportunity. He has shown success in the past, but he's never really been a command guy. Control, yes. Not command. That is a big, big difference. Slay Ciccone is also someone who had moments last year that really got people on board, but it was not something that you wanted throughout the entire season of a 4-3 ERA and a 1.19 whip with a 20% K rate. He has a low walk rate, about 6%, so it's all about how many hits he allows then, right? And he should be destined for at least an 8 hip or 9, if not a 9 hip or 9. And that will generally make the whip okay, unless he has like a 10 hip or 9. If you have a sub 6% walk rate, then you are not going to allow too many base runners in an inning, right? We're not going to be like 1.3 or 1.35. But the ERA will not be good. The strikeout rate will not be good for Slay Ciccone. And it all comes down to his fastballs. They get destroyed, absolutely pummeled. 50% ICR to both lefties and righties for his form seamer, which he averaged 44% usage. That is just not good. The sinker that he pretty much throws against right-handers still had a terrible ICR, over 41%. That is just good contact for batters. And it's not like his slider is the savior pitch. 38% ICR on that. It's not like it's 30% or so. That's kind of average. So he's really hoping that this slider and the curveball do all the work. He has a changeup he throws 13% of the time against lefties. That was not good. Sub 50% strike rate. The curveball, 55% strike rate. The only reason he doesn't have walks is because of four-seamer and the sinker, but that's essentially saying don't walk them for very hittable pitches. Yeah. This is not it. The slider is not such a dominant, amazing offering, and the fastballs are just too bad. Also, keep in mind that the really good stretch that he had of a 3.44 ERA had that bad whip of 1.27 and an 85% left on base rate during that good stretch of the 24% strikeout rate. Slay Ciccone is just not it. Sorry, Slade Brigade. No, thank you. He is a guy that will get those chances, right? He will be able to go six innings. And there's something to be said about that for your deeper leagues where you just want the opportunity. You just want the chance, a desperate stream. You should be aware of those who are able to go 90 plus pitches and you do throw strikes. Those are the guys that can actually perform on a given day. They just have a massive, massive floor is lava profile. Okay. Logan Allen is one of these three southpaws that are going for the 4 and 5 spot for the Guardians. I think Logan Allen has an inside track because he does have so many frames in the past 2 years. I believe it's about 240 combined, or at least as he's had at least 20 starts in three straight seasons. That's really what I'm going for here. And I don't really like what Logan Allen does. He doesn't have a great approach against right-handers because there's no good secondary there. And his changeup isn't so amazing against lefties. The sweeper has a 55% strike rate to lefties. I apologize. The changeup isn't very good to righties. I take that back. The sweeper is the bad pitch against lefties that you would expect him to have. And a sub 55% strike rate is just not it. So sometimes a four-seamer does well with a flat profile of a 1.3 height-adjusted VAA. No, I really don't think that Logan Allen is the guy that the Guardians should be going for. I feel like it should be the other two, but you might see it out of the gate with someone like Parker Messick or Joey Cantillo in the minors to start off. We'll see. Logan Allen is only reserved for your deep AL only, just because he'll get 90 plus pitches constantly and he does have those surprise moments. Yeah, no. I just think it's not very good. The Singer at least does decently well against lefties. Like that, I'm cool with. You have surprisers. Like, yeah, that's fine. Surprise four seamers up to lefties. That can work. It doesn't have good movement, that sinker, but at least he like tries to get that inside. And that four seamer can actually miss bats upstairs, 18% swing strike rate. So it's a little bit of a two pitch game there. And if there's a boost in his sweeper to lefties, 60-65% strikes there, can get more whiffs with that. Maybe he can take down lefties better and it's digestible against righties. But Logan Allen, really, I'm not going to buy that. Cantillo and Messick are very interesting. They're interesting for different reasons, and it might surprise you who I like more, and we'll talk about them and more after this break. So Joey Cantillo is the purest swatch, right? He is a southpaw with the tightest changeup. 24% swing strike rate last year, 31% usage. He throws it to both righties and lefties. And it is a 61% strike rate. It is just overall a very effective pitch. It isn't the greatest movement changeup. It's just so deceptive off of his four-seamer. And I think what is happening here is batters are really hunting for the four-seamer. He doesn't have a whole lot else to offer. There is this curveball that is actually very interesting. It has negative 21 vert. That means 21 inches of drop with 99th percentile to go with his 99th percentile extension. And he's actually pretty good at throwing strikes with it. Against lefties and righties in 24 and 25, only one combination has a sub 60% strike rate, and that was the very limited sample of lefties in 24. So he can throw strikes with his huge curveball, which generally does not return a ton of strikes because batters are not going to swing at it, and it's harder to find the zone with these big breakers. But this one works, and I wonder if he can up its usage from 19% to lefties to closer to 25, because the slider just is not effective. It is not doing enough without a 14% swing strike rate and a sub 60% strike rate. So I wonder either Cantillo needs to improve that slider to lefties or increase the curveball usage. And to righties, well, here's the real problem, is that the four-seamer at 91-92 has a 48% ICR. And that, it gets hit. Guys are hunting it. And that's why the changeup is as effective as it is, because they're really aggressive on the four-seamer. And last year, I'm really surprised to tell you that we have a 228 BABIP with 44% grounders on that four-seamer to righties. And I don't think that's right. It's very high. He has a generally high attack angle with minimal movement on that four-seamer. That should not have that many grounders, and it should not have that low of a BABIP, right? When you have 44% grounders, essentially means that you don't have extremes in fly balls, and a low BABIP of 228 doesn't compute. It should be a higher BABIP with that many grounders, right? You only see those low BABIPs when you have extreme fly ball pitchers. That is not what the four-seamer did with Cantillo. So that's going to revert. That means he's going to allow more hits. He's going to allow more damage off of that four-seamer. And while the changeup will be effective to righties, it's going to be a high risk reward. So the nights where he has a lot of strikeouts is when the four-seamer just is not getting laced. And probably not against many lefties, honestly, because the slider just isn't that effective. So I'm curious how this develops for Cantillo. Hopefully he gets a sinker to throw against lefties. He doesn't have that. Hopefully the curveball is more effective and utilized more. And hopefully he finds a way not to have a 48% ICR on his fastball. Oh my gosh. So that terrifies me a little bit, that we're going to see the hipster situation a little with Cantillo and not really this consistent arm that got us really excited last year, especially at the end with a 27% strikeout rate. I think he might still have that strikeout rate because the changeup is that effective, but not necessarily 27, but not like a 20, like a 23, 24. Messick, though, Parker Messick is, I think, a better bet for the year ahead. And that's because Parker Messick is an above-average command arm. I love it. His pitch separation to righties is so good. Four-seamers, changeups, there's a straight divide. If you look at that strike zone plot, down and away to righties with that changeup. With fastballs upstairs, it's also a harder one at 92-93. He got whiffs on it, 13% swing strike rate last year. 530 PLV is really good. And the changeup, yeah, that's the money pitch against righties. 16% swing strike rate, really low ICR in it, 27%. He didn't get enough strikes, 60%, but I think that's really due to the small sample. It was about 40 innings thrown last year. And against lefties, yeah, he's got a slider. He's got a sinker that goes inside to them as well. I dig it. He also saves that four-seamer to go upstairs against them. It just all works. And the curveball as well, 61% strikes. I'll take that with a 25% called strike rate. He throws it every so often. It just feels like it's a package that works and it's well commanded, which then tells me, hey, he's able to perfect these things more. There might be little tweaks and changes here and there that will make him better. I don't feel like what I saw from Parker Messick was abnormal. And that's, yeah, that means that this is going to be a more stable swatch type, I think, moving forward with Parker Messick. So the only question, though, is when are we going to see him locked inside of the Cleveland rotation? Because it could be Cantillo and Logan Allen out of the gate for the Guardians. And I don't think you're going to see all three of these lefty swatch types. It's going to be Sassoni, Bybee, and Gavin as the righties out of the gate, and then two of those. I hope it's Messick. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the one who goes into AAA and then comes up in, like, I don't know, May or so. And the moment he does, I want him on my teams. Doug Nikhazy is another lefty. I kind of like him. He's 90-91 with a four-seamer. He has the swatch type, but he has 7 feet of extension, a decent slider, and he has a he's had a quick cup of coffee that was really bad. He didn't have the precision to make the slow arsenal work. So yeah, I'm out, but there's something kind of interesting about him. I don't know what it is. Yeah, the 7 feet of extension. Yeah, maybe there's a little bit more vert than what we saw. But yeah, Doug Nikhazy's not really going to be the guy. It's going to be one of those other three. All three of those really before Nikhazy, and he clearly has more to figure out. We might see Daniel Espino really quickly. And it's because he's on the 40-man, but also, we really haven't seen Espino stay healthy for a long time. And it might be a case where they say, look, you're 25, and we just need to get all the bullets we can from that arm. Because he is legit 97-plus mile-per-hour velocity with a fantastic mid-to-upper-80s cutter. And we didn't really see much of him last year when he finally returned. He's had multiple injuries. But it could just be as a reliever. But if they say, you know what, Espino's there in camp and looking amazing, let's just get him in that rotation. Slow down Messick, have Cantillo, whatever, Logan Allen. Maybe Cantillo and Messick are just in the wings. But they don't have too much depth, the Guardians. So it might be one of those situations of like, he's looking great, he's healthy, go. And I would pay attention to Daniel Espino in the spring. There is that chance. Austin Peterson has 7 feet of extension, and he likes to go upstairs with vert of 16 inches with his four-seamer, but it's under 93 miles per hour. And he has sweepers at 80 miles per hour and a slider cutter at 87, and it's all fine. It's not really exceptional anywhere, so I'm not really into this. I think he's more of just a placeholder if they ever need it. Will Dion is in AAA. 25 left-hander. Austin Peterson also 26, so he's gonna have to come up pretty soon for a spot start, I'm sure, and you don't want that. But Dion is a lefty, and what do you know, another swatch. He has an extreme arm angle that makes like 18 to 19 inches of vert, and it's at like 89, maybe 90, with really short extension, just like 6 feet. So, okay, he likes to elevate and he likes to get good fade on the changeup at like the low 80s. And he does have a relatively hard slider, right? That's like 85 or so. It can go inside to right-handers. So it's kind of like a cutter. And then he has a 12-6 curve because of that extreme arm angle, extremely high arm angle. That's actually 81, 82, which is harder than you'd think for a guy that throws 89 on his curveball. And that can be very good to lefties, but it's just, does this really work in like a 10 mile per hour range that starts at 90? I don't think so. Maybe he does become a surprise streamer if he can locate, but I don't want to do that. Yermán Gómez has a mid 90s fastball and a slider that is really solid and another breaker as well. He just pitched in Double A. He's a righty. Age 23. He does have some reliever risk because it really is just that velocity and that slider. And I imagine they could be calling him up this season if they need a reliever in the pen, but it might develop into a proper starting arm. So take a look at that. He is on the 40 man. So that's kind of why I'm suggesting that call up. Josh Hartle is a lefty who's trying to be a swatch at the age of 22. And he had four games of seven or more strikeouts in his final 10 starts. So it's possible that he's getting more into rhythm in Double A, but he has a low 90s heater. He's trying to be a swatch. We'll see. Braylon Doty is only 20 and he's in Single A. He was drafted in 24 and he fanned 99 batters in 85 innings in his first year in Single A. He has a low to mid-90s heater and a pair of breaking balls, but he's really good at spin. So he's 20. Hopefully he adds more velocity and gets that push to Double A out of camp so they can continue to develop. But we want to be aware of him. It's really just about the velocity, and hopefully he's not just a Stuff McNasty of low 90s fastball, bad fastball, but two really good secondaries, etc. Hopefully we can get that. But then there's Cal Steven, and you know him from, or Steppen, I want to say it's Steven. You know him from the Shane Bieber deal, right? This was the prized prospect in that trade with the Jays last year. He's 23. He's been in Double A, and he's really done well. I mean, 110 to 20 strikeouts to walks in 103 minor league innings, mostly in Single A, but that's fantastic control. It was about, as you can see, over a strikeout an inning. He has nearly 7 feet of extension with 19 inches of vert, and he does not have the negative height-adjusted VAA that you would normally see with that kind of vert, which, of course, has me interested. That would make the mid-90s four-seamer 94 or so play up effectively. And then you have a slider at 83-84. You have a cutter 86-87. You have a curveball, a changeup with nearly 20 inches of depth separation from the four-seamer. And you're also seeing this with that control, right? Just 20 walks in 103 innings is beautiful. So, oh boy, yeah, I understand the hype here, especially if you can add just a little bit extra velocity and make that sit 95, 96 consistently. And with that overall control and command, and you have the extension, and you have the vert, you have that big fading changeup for lefties, you have an effective breaker for righties at 83-84. I wish that was like 86 or so. But yeah, that's the cutter that I prefer, 86-87. But yeah, I see how this all comes together. So obviously be aware of him. I don't think the Guardians need Steppen this year though. So it might be a more 2027 thing for Cal. Just because Espino is going to get the fast track in all likelihood. They have Messick. They have Cantillo, they have Logan Allen, and really Steppen would be like the SP 8 or 9. You might see Will Dion and Austin Peterson, so maybe 10 at this point. So I wouldn't really circle him for this year. He'd also would have to just dominate AA and then get the promotion to AAA and then just kind of go from there, right, to really make the appearance, but maybe we do see it by the end of the year. That'd be really cool. that is it for today. That is the Cleveland Guardians. I hope you enjoyed this one. And make sure you subscribe to our podcast, of course, on iTunes, the individual feed or the main feed of Pitcherless. Leave us a rating or review. They go a far way for us. Also, by the way, we have lifetime subscriptions open. And this week, we are putting out What is Next for Pitcherless, outlining all of our plans over the next month or two and then the distant future. But in short, what you should expect with that is an outline of our update for our live draft assistant, a preview of what the Pro Dashboard beta will look like as we enter the regular season. I am so excited for that. That has been my dream project for 2.5 years that we've been working hard on. And it takes a lot more effort than you think to create something like this, where you import your fantasy teams, you get our PLV projections, you get all of our data, including my streamers and our rankings inside of it, so you can get it directly for your teams and save all of this time. Oh, and by the way, widgets for StatCast data curated for your fantasy teams. So no more going to all of these different sites of Savant and for Pitcherless and checking this article here and seeing your players on this league and that league. It's all concentrated in one place where you view all of your teams and all the information you want just for your teams. So we are putting that out. That beta launches right at the start of the season, if not a little bit earlier. We're really excited about it. And of course, a couple other things I want to share with you. So consider getting Lifetime PL Pro right now. It is the number one way to support us and to ensure that we keep creating the things that you want. So go to pitcherless.com/lifetime to go check that out. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.